Over the next 2 days, we're going to take a look at sex education in the nation's schools. A new poll by NPR, the Kaiser Family Foundation, and Harvard's Kennedy School of Government finds that only 7% of Americans believe that sex education should not be taught. Of course, that doesn't mean everyone agrees on what kind of sex education is best. Some want schools to focus only on abstinence. Others believe it's more important to give explicit instructions about safe sex.
We're going to hear about two programs with very different approaches. Because sex education varies so much from school to school, they're not necessarily typical of anything but themselves. But they do offer a glimpse of something seldom seen by adults, the inside of sex education classes. Today, NPR's Joseph Shapiro takes us to Maine and one school where sex ed is a key part of the curriculum.
Walk into Mount Desert Island High School, and you see right away that this is a place that cares about the health of its students. The gym opens up early before school so kids can exercise. There's a salad bar in the cafeteria. The sodas once found in the vending machines have been replaced with juice and water. To get a sense of how this school cares about the sexual health of its students, the girls' bathroom is a pretty good place to start. I didn't go in. Two women colleagues did, with Sarah. She's a 15-year-old in the 10th grade, wearing jeans and a white T-shirt. Sarah reads the message that's painted in large red letters across the top of the bathroom mirror.
Look at who can get AIDS. Abstinence is the only way to be 100% safe, but condoms and spermicide will reduce your risk. I see it all the time because it's like the first thing I look at when I'm walking in because it's pretty like bright, like it's black and red, and so it's pretty vivid.
The message in the bathroom might seem a bit contradictory. It says don't have sex, but then if you do, choose the right protection. Across from the mirror, there's a long metal box on the wall. Sarah explains.
This is a condom machine. They cost 50 cents.
Condoms are free in the school nurse's office, but she'll give you a talk about how to use them properly, about abstinence, about talking openly with your partner. So more students tend to buy them from the machine in the boys' bathroom or from this one. There are about 700 students at this school, and nearly 1,000 condoms a year are sold from these machines. On the dispenser in the girls' bathroom, there's graffiti scribbled on the side and a sign on the front. Sarah reads.
Healthcare Convenience Center. Textured plus spermicidal lubrication. Caress condoms. And you can see there's like a lot of stuff written on the side, like sex is bad, sex is a sin, sins are forgiven. Just people writing stuff on the machine.
Like other 10th graders, Sarah takes health class, which they call wellness here. And 12 days are set aside for sex ed, what they call the sexuality unit. Sarah's class is taught by Karen McFarland.
First thing I want to do is to have you tell me the barriers or the reasons why people don't want to use condoms. What are some of the reasons you hear of? Barriers to condom use.
Today, McFarland is teaching about contraception. She's a veteran teacher, and she developed much of the sexuality curriculum. Some schools separate boys and girls for sex ed to avoid embarrassment. But McFarland wants them to get comfortable talking openly about things like contraception. Because in a relationship, they'll need to.
Today, we're going to be talking about condoms. We're going to be looking at some condoms. I've got a variety of condoms. Some of you may know condoms inside and out, and some of you may never have even looked at one up close and personal. So we're going to do that.
Nationally, just under half of high school students will have had intercourse by the end of 12th grade. It's about 25% by the end of 10th grade. McFarland says those numbers are probably about right for the kids at this school, too, because these kids are pretty typical in most ways. Some come from families tied to the tourist trade in nearby Bar Harbor. There are the sons and daughters of scientists at the genetics lab and the kids of lobstermen. McFarland hands out a worksheet. It's a list of excuses that a boy might use for refusing to use a condom.
I'm going to give you some actual statements. For instance, this first one says, "Don't worry, I'll pull out." What I want you to do is to try to come up with at least one reply to that statement.
The students split into groups of two and three. McFarland wants her 15 and 16-year-old students to do some role-playing. to give the girls a chance to think about, and then practice, things they can say if they ever find themselves being pressured to have unprotected sex. After about 10 minutes, it's time to hear some of their answers.
Okay, how about it'll interrupt the mood? Who had something for that? Christine?
Okay. We said there won't be a mood if you don't wear
there
one.
There won't be a mood if you don't wear one. Now that's being assertive, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, how about if someone says, I don't have a condom with me and I want to have intercourse now? What'd you have for that one?
Well, we said go to the damn 7-Eleven and buy one.
Go to the damn 7-Eleven and buy one. Okay.
Then McFarland hands out boxes of condoms and a list of features to look for. She asks the students to open the foil packets, examine them. David and Nico check out one brand.
Condom features are colored.
It's white, clear.
Does it have a reservoir tip?
Yeah. How do you tell the difference?
The point is to demystify condoms, to make these kids feel comfortable handling them, and to give them the information they need to choose one. At the end of one of McFarland's classes, Sarah, Caitlin, and Megan come up to us. They want to make something clear.
We're really lucky to get this because a lot of schools just get abstinence lessons and they don't get like stuff about contraceptives, and so it's important.
And they really stress it at our school that like there are condoms here, and like, I mean, I guess it's controversial in some ways because showing condoms at our school, like people think that we're promoting sex, but like we're promoting safe sex, and I think that's really important.
No matter, you're in high school, and I'm sorry, sex happens in high school, no matter what high school you're in.
And see, the thing is, we're not like being encouraged at all to have sex. Yeah, it's just like if you're going to, then there's stuff to take.
A boy walks up to join the conversation. His name is Tim. He's got mixed feelings about condoms being so easy to get.
It's great for the kids that have decided they're going to be sexually active. And, I mean, that's a good thing. But I also think that it's kind of letting it, giving it a go-ahead. You know, go ahead. At least we're providing condoms for you.
Tim says he's chosen abstinence until marriage. It's something he talks about in the Christian group he belongs to at school. And for the most part, he feels other students here respect his decision. Still, he wishes he heard a stronger abstinence message from other students, and particularly from teachers.
You can't expect to have every single person's support, but I don't have as much as I'd like to.
And you'd like more from where?
The student body. And staff, too.
Mark Shields teaches another sexuality class. He's also the coach of the football team. Sitting in an office next to the weight room, he says it's not that unusual anymore for kids to say they are abstinent.
Football players, a lot of them would be willing to say that they practice abstinence and they'd be okay with that. And that's kind of where things have changed slightly with the social pressures. I think it is cool to be abstinent today, where maybe 15 years ago it wasn't necessarily for an older teenage boy.
And Shields says that's what this school wants, for students to make informed choices and to feel confident about making them. Cookie Horner agrees. She's the school nurse.
Kids are really insulted by the notion that having condoms available would make them more sexually active. That really makes them mad, because it implies that they don't have values and that they don't have a brain.
Horner says students want to be treated as people who can make good decisions if they get complete information, especially when it comes to decisions about one of the trickiest transitions into adulthood.
When a parent says, well, you know, I don't want my child to be sexually active, and so I don't think you should have condoms in the school, you say, well, I agree with you, which I do, 100%. In the ideal world, I would want none of these kids to have sex until they are in a committed relationship and older. But that's not the reality.
In Karen McFarland's classes, an abstinence message is taught along with information on contraception. Horner, the school nurse, comes to class with a stack of orange, green, and blue cardboard posters. They outline all the different forms of contraception. And the first is to choose not to have sex at all. Horner tells them that's the only 100% effective way of preventing pregnancy and sexually transmitted disease.
Abstinence is something that can come and go in your life. It doesn't have to mean that you're always abstinent, or you could be always abstinent.
Horner explains that some people are abstinent before marriage or when a spouse dies, and she says it's never too late for a teen who is already sexually active to simply stop and become abstinent again. But her definition of abstinence is not totally restrictive.
It doesn't necessarily mean no sex or no sexual activity. It means no intercourse and probably means no oral sex, but not always. Some people feel that they are abstaining if they engage in oral sex. So that's a personal value judgment.
She tells them that oral sex, too, is something to practice safely. For boys, use a condom. And then Horner holds up a thin square of latex.
Okay, who knows what this is? Dental dam. And what do you use dental dams for? Oral sex. Okay. What else could you use if you didn't go to the dentist to get one of these? Saran wrap. Okay, what else? Okay, you could also use a non-lubricated condom, cut up the side. It's a latex barrier. You just cut up the side and fold it out. Okay, so what can you get from oral sex? Which ones? Gonorrhea in your throat. That's really common right now.
Horner tells them that STD infections are on the rise among teens in Maine, even as pregnancy rates are dropping. There are no figures for this school alone. So does the information these 15 and 16-year-olds get help them make responsible decisions? Karen McFarland says one measure might be the student nursery. Mount Desert Island High School opened the nursery 17 years ago. It turned out that girls who got pregnant were more likely to drop out of school if they had no place to take their babies. So the school started providing daycare for infants. The nursery is in a corner of the school, with cribs and toys and Sesame Street characters on the walls. Karen McFarland takes us to see it.
There's a class next door in the next room, and sometimes when the babies are crying, we think it's a pretty good birth control device.
The nursery can take up to 5 babies at a time. Right now, there are 3 little boys. They're the babies of teachers. Teachers and staff can bring their babies if there's room, and right now, no students at Mount Desert Island High School have babies. Joseph Shapiro, NPR News.
Tomorrow, a program in Texas that stresses abstinence. The complete results of the NPR Kaiser Kennedy School sex education polls are at the website npr.org.